Blog Talk Radio.
Rivers, we're at the third installment of the Men at the Well
Thank God for that song. That song was created by Mr. Eugene Record, one of the founders of the Shylights. Amen. And I want to also remember Robert Squirrel Lester, Clarence Johnson, and Creedell Red Jones of the Shylights, and also have one of those guys on, Brother Marshall Thompson, the last man standing. Got Brother Gus Redmond, and I'm excited today. This is going to be a great show. We're thanking God above for putting us all together. We're thanking Tribe Family Channel, and also we also want to thank Geniuses Common. Amen. Our producers and sponsors of our show. Let me pray. Let's pray right quick, and that way so we can get the blessing of God on this show. I know I got Brother Gene. Brother Gene, you with me, right?
Yeah, Gus is on. Yeah, I'm here.
Brother Gus is on. Brother Gus is on. And I'm thinking about Gene Chandler because he's going to be coming on too. I got all these names in my head, my time frame. Brother Marshall, are you with us yet too?
Yeah, I'm here right now.
Man, amen. Y'all just don't know what this is doing to me right now. This is my time, amen. But let's pray. Let us pray and get started. Father God, we thank you for another opportunity to come to the well, just like the woman came to the well, and then at the end of that, the men came. And the men come to the well for a specific reason. We come to the well to empower us to realize who's in charge of our lives, a place where men can come and be cleansed, where we can be refreshed and restore our spirit on our level, men to men. And I thank you, Father, for this format and this opportunity. Thank you for choosing me, Lord. You didn't have to do it, but you did. I thank God for Brother Thompson and Brother Redmond right now, Lord God, that they took time out of their busy schedule to come and join us tonight. Bless them and all they do. We thank Tribe Family Channel and Geniuses Common, and we give you the glory. And to all our listeners out there, I pray you'll be blessed by this show today in Jesus' name. And everybody who won't agree with me, just say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Look, ladies and gentlemen, we got some kind of show. This is our third installment. As you know, I'm Pastor Bruce Rivers of the Mount Moriah First Baptist Church in Dos Palos, California, which is almost in the geographic center. I call it in the valley in Cali, amen, in the San Joaquin Valley over here. Y'all remember the TV show The Big Valley, right in the middle of all that. And I just thank Tribe Family Channel and produced by Bruce George, the co-founder of Russell Simmons Deaf Poetry Jam on HBO, and the founder of Geniuses Common. And I'll give you all those different websites a little later on where you can follow us and see what we're doing. So, but first of all, I want to introduce two men that come out of my time frame when I was DJing in Monterey and Seaside and all over the Monterey Peninsula back in the 70s. Fresh out of high school, amen. Had my own show on KZN. And I remember the Shylights, and then I would later spent a lot of time. I'm gonna get Marsha right here down at the Dijon Ballroom in L.A. Somebody say amen.
I remember that. Yeah, I remember that.
And my college days and whatnot. But I got two men on the phone. I'm gonna let them introduce themselves, give their opening salvos. And Brother Marshall Thompson, one of the founding members, original members of the Mighty Shylights that we grew up with. And you remember all those songs? Oh, girl, I remember Toby. Toby was my song. Somebody say amen.
Right.
But Brother Marshall, give us open up for us and tell us a little bit. Give us a little opening shot across the bow there. Gene, I'll get Brother Redmond, get right back to you.
Okay.
Go ahead, Marshall.
Well, we go so far back, you know, this is 58 years.
Wow.
The 31st of this month, next month, December 31st will be 58 years with me with the Shylights.
Wow.
And it started off back in the day, you know, when we first got out there and traveled. I was with Gladys Knight and the Pips, the drummer first. And after I left Gladys Knight, I went into the Shylight situation and put us all together. You know, Eugene, Squirrel, Red, and myself. And we started. Clarence Johnson was in there for about a year with us. But other than that, we went on to the Hall of Fame and went on and did our thing. You know, Gus Redmond was the guy that came in with us and picked it up with the promotion. And we hooked up with a lot of top TV shows. The Soul Train, Dick Clark, Sammy Davis and Company show, and all the best shows out there. And then we put our product out there, and it just went on to the moon.
Now, Gene, all y'all came out of Hyde Park High School, if I'm not mistaken, right? In Chicago?
Well, some of us. I came out of Hyde Park 1 year, but I went to DuSable after that. And Eugene Ruckert went to Inglewood High School. Squirrel and Red, they went to Hyde Park High School as well.
Amen. That's Inglewood in Chicago, right? Not Inglewood in L.A.
Right.
Yeah,
Inglewood,
amen.
No,
we got Inglewood.
Chicago.
Amen. Well, we're so honored to have you. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to make sure we get Brother Gene. I mean, I keep calling Brother Gene. I'm talking about Gene Chandler because he's in my mind right now. Brother Marshall is going to be they've got rehearsal tonight. The Shylands are rehearsing. Where y'all getting ready to go, Brother Marshall?
We're playing a big show in Chicago here on New Year's Eve with Shylights and OJs.
Oh, my
goodness. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's going to be a credible show. Too bad I can't be in I'll be at Watch Night meeting, amen.
Yeah, so that's what we're rehearsing tonight. That's why I had to come on real quick and get a rehearsal started at 7. So I'm a little behind it. But I just wanted to say hello to all the beautiful people just listening and thank them for all the time that they put in for our career to give us all the hit records. And then Finding Dory movie with the little kids helped picked up us for a great deal with that Have You Seen Her? So, I mean, the Lord has been blessing us, and we're still moving on all over the world.
Amen. Sure. One of the great groups of our time. Now, I want to know, Marshall, you have a show too, don't you? What's the name of your show that you do? You do sometime on with the Tribe?
Yeah, I have a show on Wednesday. I got Wednesday Night Soul. That's our soul show on Wednesday.
Because if I'm not mistaken, The Last Man Standing, is that a book or what is that?
Right, that's my book. My book.
Let's go. The Last Man Standing. Amen.
Yeah. And we host our show with Beverly and myself. We do a great. We got Stan Mosley tomorrow night on the show as well. Mm-hmm.
And so you know, you got anybody that's listening that wants more information, you can go to my page, go to Bruce E. Rivers on Facebook, or Marshall. Where can
they go? Shylights.info.
Shylights.info.
Yes. Shylights.info. INFO.
Amen. I know I got some classmates on the line. I saw Lynn Williams. She's one of my classmates from that time frame when we were in school at King Junior High and Seaside High School. And then my sister is actually listed all the way from down in the Carolina, North Carolina area. My sister, Cheryl, my older sister, who I just met this year, praise God, amen. So our God is good to us, man. But Marshall, we thank you. Like I said, I know when are you gonna cut out? You gonna cut out before I let Gus say what he's got to say?
Well, he
can
do some things. Well, I'm on my way to rehearsal now. So
okay, well, just give
I'll
me a second, then let Gus come in and tell us a little bit about him. Ladies and gentlemen, Gus Redmond, a producer. You heard Marshall say it already. He produced a lot of shows, but I tell you, one of the songs from my time, I was messing with him when we first started. The Sly, the Slick, the Wicked, Wicked, Wicked. I mean, we had about five or six groups to sing that song in a talent show back in the old Stillwell Hall. But, Gus, come on, tell us a little bit about you, man.
Well, me and Marshall actually grew up in Chicago as kids.
Uh-huh.
We served in the same drum and bugle corps, the Ida B. Wells drum and bugle corps. I stayed in Stateway Garden, and Marshall was staying over around Ida B. Wells, and they had a drum and bugle corps in Ida B. Wells, but they didn't have one in Stateway. So me and some of the guys that I grew up with actually went over there, and we got in the drum and bugle corps, and of course that's when I met Marshall, and we had to be like 13, 14 years old, and then we went to Giles Drum and Bugle Corps, which was that was right across the street from where I stayed at, 5726 State Street, and that was right across the street from the Giles Post, which was a American Legion Hall.
Wow.
And they were the two best drum and bugle corps that we had in Chicago. And from there, me and Marshall both, my father had a barbershop, and we lived across the street from Club DeLisa. So I always grew up around the entertainment thing, American Legion being across from my house and the Club DeLisa being across from the barbershop that my father and uncle had. And And so I got exposed to the Regal Theater very early and, you know, working at the Regal where Marshall and I came into the Regal at the same time. Marshall came in before he was with Gladys Knight. He also had worked for Major Lance with Monkey Time, which was a million seller record we had back in 1963. And then, of course, Marshall played for a lot of other people, too. Bobby Rush, who is one of the oldest blues singers out here. We just attended his event Friday. And God has been really good, Reverend, just to keep us involved with our music. That's something that me and him love from day one. And the other good thing is that I stayed across the street from Gene Record on 61st and St. Lawrence, where I met Gene at an early age, and he was playing guitar. His whole family played guitar. They were the Records, and they all played guitar, his grandfather and everybody in his family. And they go back from history, 1800s, playing the guitar. So Gene was very talented as a young guy. I didn't even know that he was going to be a Charlotte. We didn't know Marshall. These was way before we got to singing and got to in this business. I was singing, too, with Major Lance and Otis LaVelle, and that's how it came when from the Stateway Garden where we were growing up, and I had brought Major through the projects there, and all these guys had big records. This was like Gene Chandler days, Duke Earl, and a lot happened. So it was just so many connections as a young man coming into this business and wanting to be in this business since I was 3 or 4 years old. Is something that my dream came true. And I didn't never think it was a dream. I knew God was behind every move that I had because it was always about the music and about being the good part of the music and, you know, what we were trying to establish for the world and writing songs and producing songs and being part of a writing team. I was not the writer, neither the music, but I was the one who knew how to connect the music that Larry Brownlee played and Larrell Simon wrote the lyrics. And I was the third partner in the company we had, the three of us that started the whole thing with the Sly Slick and the Wicked and a lot of other songs that me and Larrell had a lot to do with, from Barry White to you name it. You know, we had a lot of songs out there.
You know, I'm so thrilled and so amazed, of course, that, you know, so, you know, some of my little story, you know, I had Bubba Knight on for my first show, and we were talking about all this, you know, because it all intertwines and how we're doing. I was blessed in the 80s to run up and be connected with Natalie Cole. I was her founding here and traveled and with Eddie and her cousin Eddie is also in the ministry down in Southern California. We still communicate and talk. And, of course, you know, we lost her last year and actually on the – New Year's Eve, the same night my mother passed, you know, in 06, 07. So, and I was afforded the opportunity, you know, at church, basically. Eddie asked me, did I want to go on the road for a couple of weeks? And I was like, with who? And it was like, well, you know, my cousin Natalie needs a sound man, and you can handle it. So I was like, okay. And didn't even realize until I got to Canada, flew in, and I looked at all the stuff. I said, Natalie Cole. I said, Natalie Cole's your cousin? And that's what your name is, Eddie Cole. It made sense after a minute. And my first gig was at the Northwoods Inn in Canada. And then, of course, I've crossed paths with come in right after some of you guys had left. You guys were ahead of us and behind us and got to meet different people. But being in the industry, you know, I've been in gospel music most of my life, coming out of the you know, grew up with all the original Oh Happy Day Singer people up in the Oakland and Bay Area.
Well, you know, I promoted that record.
Yeah, see that?
Yeah,
that's what
I promoted that record, and not just Oh Happy Day, but One More Day. I did the beautiful Zion Baptist Church, I'll Make It All Right.
Yeah.
I also did Dorothy Norwood, There's Gotta Be Rain to Appreciate the Sunshine.
Yeah.
And these were the only records that Ashley got played, Reverend, on mainline radio stations to break national and become pop records as well.
There you go.
All four of them records I was behind in promoting them during that time.
Well, you know, it's really funny because, you know, being I went to a Bethel Baptist Church in Seaside, but I sung with the Church of God in Christ youth choir called the Trumpeteers, and we would go up to the Bay Area. You know, it was the Northern California State Youth Choir of the Church of God in Christ. And then when the record became a hit, that 45, I like to tell people about 45.
Oh, yeah.
They re-released it as the Evan Hawkins Singers. And so, you know, I grew up in that whole time frame, you know, 13, 14 years old. And so, but at the same time, then you come along and then go into high school, and I got that radio show, and you guys were the music of my time, you know. And I mean,
The Sly, the Slick, and the Wicked. You know,
oh, man,
you know, they had two, they liked our song and our the group so much that James Brown was the first one who took my group out. They were called the Lost Generations. And actually, Fred Simon, Larell's brother, who was songwriting, he was one of the group. He was in the member of the group. It still got the group today, the Lost Generations.
Wow.
And
yes.
Actually, but there are different other groups out there that call themselves the Sly, the Slick, and the Wicked, because that was the name of our song. It was no group called
right.
The Sly, Slick, and the Wicked. The group was called the Lost Generations.
Hey,
and,
right. I think I still got that 45. I still got some of my old 45s in a box, you know. And
oh, yeah. Well, that was my first, me and Sulla on them. Actually, the first record that we picked to come out on Brunswick. And actually, it was a record that made Brunswick Records big enough and large enough to sign the Charlites and other major groups that came on. But that was the first Me and Sulla on Brunswick Records, which was a race label that was formed up under Decca Records. Back in the day, Columbia Records had a label called OK Records.
Huh?
And, of course, Decca had a label called Brunswick Records. And they were what they call race label. That means black artists couldn't be on Columbia Records, so they couldn't be on Decca. The only black man that was on Columbia Records was the main guy, what's his name?
Nat King Cole, wasn't he the first one with Columbia?
Nat King Cole, well, even before, Johnny Mathis.
Mathis, that's right.
Yeah, Johnny Mathis was the only one on there at first.
Uh-huh.
And another guy out of Houston, Texas, that was Johnny something, I can't think of his name. But
amen.
These were labels that were being established. And, of course, when Eugene Records, now you mentioned something earlier, Bubbles. When I first went on the road with Bubbles and Gladys, them was doing the Dick Clark Caravan of Stars tour. And Major Lance was on there, Favoring and Gladys Knight. And Bubbles and them tried to drown me. They didn't try to drown. They threw me in the swimming pool, and I couldn't swim.
Yeah.
And I was drowning. And actually, Beverly asked him the last show. She said, Bubba, did you try to drown Gus? And he waited for me. He said, yeah. And I said, but they wasn't really trying to drown me. They thought I could swim. They threw me. I was the tour manager. And I remember, man, when we got off the bus in Houston, them guys ran straight to the pool and all dived in the water with their clothes and everything. Oh. And if you would have seen the white folks running out of that swimming pool, and I was going over to get them to get out the pool because the police coming.
Yeah.
And I was over there running off the mouth, and the next thing I knew, they all grabbed me and threw me in the water too.
See,
clothes and everything, you know, and I almost drowned.
That's that real history stuff. And Marcy, you still with us?
I think he might have that, yeah.
Hey, Marshall, I want to talk about a couple of things, but I'm going to go. You know, I always get questions, you know, because first, you know, we talk about, and I knew Marshall might not be with us long, but he'll be back. We'll get him at another time.
For sure will.
But, Red, I know you have a lot of this history, too, because you were there, and that's the beautiful thing about it. But here, I always have questions I ask my guests and try to find out. Here's the first question. I say, what has been your life's greatest lesson, past or present? What have you learned the most, Red, for our audience?
That you have to be straight with everybody. One of the things is that in this world that we live in, it's hard to do some of the right things you need to do. Well, one of the things that I learned was that my main things as far as the law was the Ten Commandments. And I always studied that and made sure that I lived by that. If I didn't do anything else within the whole history of the gospel and the word, that the Ten Commandments, and as I learned from people like Michael Jackson and how him and his dad, you know, didn't get along, or he didn't respect, to me, his father, because his father didn't beat Michael. He whooped him.
Yeah.
He shared some things as a father. But when you look at Michael not being here,
uh-huh.
and Whitney Houston not being here, and Marvin Gaye not being here, and Elvis Presley, some of the biggest artists ever, they didn't respect their fathers and mothers.
Wow.
And in respect to that, you have to look at that's what they should have known at first. They still be here today, every one of them, if they had a different way of how they felt about their parents, I think, the respect they showed to their parents. And
you know, that's why it's talk.
That is what happens in life. You know, they destroy our families, and then how can you mend? So that's part of what I learned.
You know, and I certainly agree with that. I lost a stepson. He was gunned down in front of our home in '93 on the peninsula, and you know, those kind of things. Here we are, almost. Well, 2013, 20-some years later, you know, he was 18 years old. And it all stems, you know, and we all find ourselves disobeying our parents and disobeying
right.
the word of God. And most of us, I know you and I know Marshall, all of us went through church at some time in our lives, and then we did our thing, you know. Being on the road with Natalie was one of the most exciting times of my life. And
Natalie was such a good friend of ours, too. You got to realize that Natalie and her husband and the other partners, they all came from Chicago. Actually, when the group that Eddie Thomas had back here, they were, I can't think of the name of the group now, but that was Chuck Jackson, who was one of Natalie's writers with
right.
her husband.
Right.
All of these are family. We all grew up together. We all came from different background families and stuff, but we came up together on Michigan Avenue was where all this good music came from. It was called Record Row.
Uh-huh.
And you got to realize that back in the 60s and the 70s, that one street, Michigan Avenue here in Chicago, still today one of the major streets in Chicago, is the place that used to be called Record Row.
Right.
And so the Shawlites and Jerry Butler and all these artists came off of that block, that was like a mile at least from 12th in Michigan to 24th in Michigan, where it was nothing but record companies, VJ Records, Mercury was in the area, Columbia Records was downtown where we were at. Now, you got to realize the first label that a black A&R director ran, that was Carl Davis, and that was OK Records up under the Columbia Records. Carl Davis
wow.
was one of the first. Carl and Granville White were the first two blacks that worked in position of being directors up under the Columbia Records label. And they made history. They brought in Gambling Huff and all of these people associated. But it all started here in Chicago.
Uh-huh.
And this music history, even the records back here, Oh Happy Day, all of the gospel records I told you that I was part of, you know, they broke out of Chicago.
Wow.
They didn't break out of New York or L.A. or what was happening over in Los Angeles. It started here. It was a station here called WVON with the Good Guys. One of our most famous DJs just passed a couple of weeks ago, Herb Kent, 88 years old, on the radio in Chicago, and had the number one ratings on Saturday and Sunday over every radio station in the country because of this guy's historical lifestyle and how he was there to break all the music all the way back to Lloyd Price and people like that that's been in this business for years that done great jobs to turn our music and give us what we call hit music. And it went from the R&B to pop and crossover and then all over in England, and as our music got across the world from people like Sammy Davis playing our stuff first, or Flip Wilson, and don't forget Don Kinnear's come out of Chicago too, so Soul Train started over here as well.
Right, that's right. You know, I was, it's funny, I danced on a Soul Train in the 70s, 73, whenever, you know, down in L.A., when I first moved to L.A. And, it, once again, music's always been a part of a lot of our lives, you know. And when I first went to, transferred to college down there, I had been in L.A. about 2 weeks, and I got to go, and like I was telling Marcia, you know, down at the old Dijon Ballroom, that's where it seemed like every group, there was
I knew the place. I was there. I started with Major Lance first. With Monkey Time, and then I went to Gene Chandler and worked with Gene for several, 8 years as his road manager. Then I came to Carl Davis because Carl managed Eugene, and then Gene Chandler was the one who took the Charlottes out. He took us on a tour, and that's how all of this started. So all of us been working together a long time, but I was always behind all of them as their road managers and also as their promotion person as far as radio as well.
Well, that's when I was reading your bio, I was like you said, it was funny when you read, you say, hey, I didn't really do a whole lot of singing, but I found, you found your niche, and your niche
my niche was the one who was to facilitate it and make it happen, make it, you know, make it successful, because it always takes a team to do things. I mean, sometimes the people like myself never get the respect that happened. I'm the cause of the rap music. I brought Sugar Hill Records in. I'm back consulting with them today. They got a new label with younger artists, some good products they got coming, and Lloyd Price and the Shot Sound Records that Charlotte was on. We got that label coming back with some great new artists, T.L. Williams. And like I said, we just keep on going. You know, it's like I always tell everybody, man, it's just, you just do what you're supposed to do. Write the right words, put the right messages out there, and the song will take you a long way. Writing is a very great opportunity to be able to speak your words and some great music behind it, which, of course, we really believe in the music, because the strings and the horns and all of the different instruments of music make a difference. They put that, God put that there for us, don't forget.
Right.
So,
right.
So if this is his world, this is his music as well, and he definitely looks out for those who have the best all the time.
You know, it's funny. We talked about it in our first show. Number one, how the music's changed. And you know, we back in our day, we danced and partied, and then of course we went through the transition of the, you know, the Sugar Hill stuff and all that. When I was really DJing, when the disco era came through, and the club era, and the party, and then the rapping came through, and you know, of course, people didn't think it was going to last, but it's so close to our culture.
I was right on the phases of all of that music. I was one of the principals in being involved with the transforming and changing the music styles. I was the first one with the rap stuff, first one with New Edition, they were called hip hop. First one with gospel music that could cross gospel music over. First one with house music with Jesse Saunders and all the guys dealing with like that. Even today we got great R&B brand new music out here. A lot of new people. The music, it does what it's supposed to do.
Yeah.
And you got some people, I would always say to writers and people that's really interested in this business, do it. Try it. Put your heart in it. I mean, you know, I wrote a song called Me and Larell called What You Put In Is What You Get Out. You don't put nothing in, you don't get nothing out. Respectfully.
You're telling the whole truth, the truth, and nothing but the truth, man. And it's amazing how we... You know, we thank God for that. And like I said, you know, I almost can't find words, you know, what you're giving right now, the historical aspect and content of what we're doing. The naming the people you have crossed paths with, and then we're into this thing. I was blessed to bring Yolanda Adams to the Monterey Peninsula, went right after her first big hit, and we did the Gospel Fest, and I was, you know, part of the founding team at a Monterey Bay Blues Festival many years ago, when it was the very first one. It was called the Catfish Blues Festival, and then it had a good 30-year run, and, you know, and people are still, you know, looking for those days to come back. You know, music is, like I say, it's part of our lives, what we do, and now, you know, in the pastorship, now, I know where your strength came from, but I want you to tell us, what was your church life like as a child?
My church life started as a real church life, like most of us, being in church. I remember going to church almost every day, and my mother would sit us outside, maybe, and, you know, with the kids and everything, and we have our little Bible studies, and I was part of the Baptist church at first, and then sanctifying, and then I went as a Catholic and became an altar boy, and just great things in life about seeing mom pray and what prayer meant and what it meant to have a happy family. And that type of life, that's what put me into music, because like I said, I lived across the street from music, businesses, you know, from the Club DeLisa, which was the number one club in Chicago at the time, where everybody would play, from Frank Sinatra to Donna Washington to Nat King Cole and all these people like that. And I always saw how they dressed, and I wanted to be like them. I didn't want to be a barber. My father wanted me to be a barber.
Right.
And cut hair. My uncle wanted me to clean clothes and the cleaners. My cousin wanted me to shine shoes. I messed up Nat King Cole's shoes, so they weren't going to let me shine those shoes no more.
I saw that in your bio.
I actually messed his shoes up on purpose so I wouldn't have to shine those shoes, though. and then when my family knew I wanted to be in it, they sent me to Houston, Texas with Don Roby, who was the first guy that had the biggest label called Peacock Records. And that's where I kind of learned some things in the business and came back to Chicago. And then, of course, that's when I met Osvaldo and Major Lance, and just expanded from right there. I mean, so I started early. All the records I was affiliated with working with these guys, all were million sellers. Major Lance had 10, 15 million sellers in a row.
Wow.
Gene Chandler had the same. You know, Duke of Earl, the platinum record, right? Our first record, as soon as we came, I mean, we were still in high school and was coming out of high school with million seller records, all of us. So it was quite a life. You got to realize that on the road, we couldn't sleep in hotels because they didn't have no hotels.
Right.
This was the 60s, you all, and driving in the car, mostly driving, not being able to really fly on the planes, and until we really got into, you know, Gene, and then, of course, we had to fly because we were on our way to do Dick Clark's show and on a tour, and things became different for us, you know, real fast. We didn't get a chance to really play the chilling market, like they say. We went right into fame on the first records we had.
Wow.
I've had over 592 million solo records that I've promoted and
wow.
been involved with, from, like you say, from gospel to house music to groups like Double Exposure and all that, South Soul Records and Peebo Bryson. I'm the cause of Peebo. I'm the cause of the group Brick, Disco Dads.
We brought them to Monterey. I
also did the record with the rap record, the Ha Da Ha, Rapping Duke. And Arthur Prasad, big dance record that Arthur Prasad had back in the dance days. I've been involved with a lot of products that from around the country in different areas of music, you know, the music scene.
Yeah. You know, that's where the blessing is, you know, and I too, you know, where we get all these, I did a little production as we got on, you know, had some issues in my life, but I was working with a gentleman named Archie Pitts, and we brought a lot of the groups to town, and then right when the rap started, we were fortunate enough to bring Bobby Brown when he broke out with My Prerogative, N.W.A.
Yeah.
We had a lot of the young groups that were coming at that time. Hammer, before he got his record, running up down the coast selling
well,
records.
Well, you know, Hammer ended up doing one of the Starlight songs, of course, Have You Seen Her?
Seen Her, that's right.
So that was one of the first songs that one of the rappers like that had did a remake on one of Eugene Records' songs, because Gene wrote all the songs that the Starlights had. Every song, Gene was the major songwriter. Marshall was the leader of the group. So Marshall took care of all the business and made sure that the group formatted and they were out there doing the promotions and, you know, the tours and all that stuff that we had. Don't
wow.
forget, we had Tyrone Davis, too. We had Jackie Wilson. We had
was
Barbara
it,
Acklin.
Yeah.
We had Bo Hannon. We had Walter Jackson. So, oh, my God, I could just name you so many artists that we've been affiliated with in this music thing that it just goes back and back and back. And I'm talking about hit records. Well, they didn't have just one hit record. These artists we had would have three, four. Jackie Wilson got real hot, and he was doing real well. All these, well, we were all on the same label on Brunswick Records.
Huh?
That's the same label that the Lost Generations was on, who had the Sly, Slick, and the Wicked as well, you know.
Oh.
Fred
you know,
Hughes, Aretha Franklin's sister, we had her. I mean, Carol Franklin. I mean, just lots of people. We did, what's the guy that played trumpet? Louis Armstrong.
Hmm.
Yeah, I mean, just a lot of records.
But you know, you crossed all these genres of music, and then you come, and we go back to what we talk about. You know, the focus of the men at the well is in our lives. We've all had adversities of some sort, and then we find out. I little Anthony was on the last show, and I renamed him Pastor Anthony because he was so in tune to how the Word of God really changes our lives. And And I know some of my young friends and brothers on my page here, on my Facebook page, I'm looking at people that are tuned in tonight, and I thank God for them, you know, that you still have a presence, you know, in these tumultuous times, you know. I've got over 5,000 friends on Facebook, and I look for the day that they'll all tune in to the show one night, you know, and as we go forward. I talked to Little Anthony and the young man we had last week, brother Kendrick, a young man that B.B. Winans went and sang with. He's got this thing with his sleep apnea, but his windpipe is closing up. So he's got a rare form that could kill him, but he wanted to sing gospel. And so he sang this song, and they brought B.B. Winans in to sing with him. My Last Days, a show they did. And this young man is supposed to only have 3 years to live, but he's already lived four. So we're I told him we want to, I want to look one day, and I'll get with you. We might have to produce us a show out here in California and bring as many of these folk as we can bring, have a 2 or 3 day festival. And bring
it's amazing that you say that. One of the other things that God gave me was to bring different artists for the last 30 years or better. We have an organization in my family called, and Rich Redmond, my first cousin, another cousin, Gus and Tyrone, we've been doing brain in schools, brain in concerts and stuff into Chicago for our schools for the last 30 years. And I've busted every group that we brought in here, from Outkast to all of these artists that's out here today that are doing it from Atlanta, basically half Atlanta, have come to Chicago. Like I said, Chicago is where it breaks from. If it won't break it, you know, I'm saying that, I'm not saying that records can't break in other areas of the world, because it does. But Chicago is known for being the first for it to really break its way through, like groups like New Edition and the gospel groups, the family of gospel that you said from out there in the Bay Area that had Oh Happy Day. Chicago, that station, WVON, was the station that broke them. The station that broke the first rap record with Sugar Hill and them, Rapping Delight, was VON. And Peebo Bryson and all these stations. Now it's a station called WKKC. Now that's the Kennedy King 89.3 FM, and it can be heard all over the world through WKKC.FM. And you can hear new music that you never heard before. And I guarantee you, if you go to that station, you ain't going to drop it. You're going to listen to it because you're going to be surprised what they play, and you're not hearing the same music over and over and over that you hear what we call on our big major top 10 radio stations in the country.
Yeah, the commercial.
You know, one thing about music, you always want to hear something new all the time.
Yeah.
And that was the secret of why so many artists have broke, because you wanted more and more. You want more of that. More, I want more, I want more. Now, if you give them more and it's good, then that's how we have been able to do the music so long, because
right.
you intend to do the best music that you get that you can do, you know.
Well,
or,
you know.
Or be affiliated with the best music that you hear, because every music is not, everything's not a hit record. It takes the people, it takes the music, the arranger, the producing, and all of these things make a difference, you know.
You know, you're so right, Red. Gus, I'm going to keep going to call you Red. Gus, Red. They probably
yeah, well,
did
a lot
call
of people,
you that at one time, Red.
Yeah, yeah, but, I get Red all the time.
You know, if I continue here, how is your friends and family, how have they dealt with you? And I know we've all had issues. If you want to talk about any issues in your life, feel free, because, you know, we all, Bible says we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And we've all had things that have caused us pain and strife and struggle. And I know ultimately scripture teaches us you train up a child the way they should go when they're old, they will not be, depart from it. So all of us got that foundational biblical truth in our lives. And because of that, some of us made it through our issues. Some of us didn't make it, you know. I've got a lot of friends that have gone on, but I know for me in my house, you know, we serve the Lord. You know, being a pastor of a small church and then getting to travel the country and doing the national stuff I do with Dr. Alveda King and different folks in format and traveling, you know, it's an honor. It was an honor for my the Tribe Family Channel to invite me to do this show. You know, I was in radio a long time ago. I was radio 30, 40 years ago. Now, all of a sudden, here we are again with a whole other format. People seem to be enjoying it. I'm certainly enjoying it. Reconnecting with people and then people that crossed my path like yourself, we were next door to each other when you think about it. We were here, you were there, and,
mm-hmm.
and now this opportunity to grow. But how have your family and friends helped you overcome? Have they been there for you?
Man, I got to really tell you the truth. Absolutely. Absolutely. And here's the first one. It's always your other side, your other person that be with you every day, which is your wife or your mate.
Uh-huh.
And if you have a good mate and a good person with you to make sure that if I'm feeling bad, she's there.
Right.
If I'm feeling good, she's there. A lot of my travels and things we do together, I've been with her like 35 years now. We have a daughter, 32, and this is my second marriage. And, hey, man, it's nothing better than having a great family, great kids, a woman that comes in, and even though I had other kids, she came and brought them in right as one family.
Uh-huh.
And my daughter, Ebony, the youngest one, she is such a delight. Because she brought all of my family together, my kids from other times of my life, but she brought them in as one family so we could be and work together and do things together. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing to have a great family and have people like friends. Marshall's my best friend of the Charlottes.
Right.
And people that I work with and Carl Davis. I just left some friends in New York last week. Great friends from around the world all came together. And you know, you can tell that when you're doing the right thing, you've been around these people 30, 40, 50-year friends. And I don't take on too many new friends as friends because it's hard to call everybody a friend because you got so many people that want to mess you around and do things that in your life that's not correct in your way you do things.
Right.
And so, of course, I follow what I'm, you know, every day when I wake up, the first person I'm going to say good morning to is God and thank him for another day. And I found out that I can't argue with nobody during that morning time of the day. If I'm not straight all day long with being with God first and knowing how I woke up, that's what makes me go the rest of the day to keep all of the nonsense and everything. I remember Al Bell called me one day, Mr. Al Bell from Stack Records. He was sick and he was in the hospital. And he said, "Man, I wanted to let you know something." I said, "What?" He said, "Whatever you do in the morning, don't let nothing bring you down." He said, "Who's the person who brings you down every morning?" And I said, "That's my mother." He said, "Well, don't talk to her in the morning no more then. Talk to her in the afternoon. If you wait till after 12 o'clock. Because, and she wouldn't be doing nothing but telling me about who doing her wrong. And, of course, I'm going to get mad. If anybody's doing her wrong, I'm mad.
Yeah.
So my day ain't going good because I got to get off the phone when I get through with her and call that person and bawl them out. But I found out that after I started calling her after 12 o'clock, after she would get over her day, then I had a better day. But that's some things you got to really think about because you got issues all the time, man. I wish everybody didn't have to go through no dark side of your life, but in everything we do, we're going to have to go through it all. And you just pray.
I know the old folks used to tell us, you know, if you didn't ever have any problems, you wouldn't know God could solve them. You know,
absolutely,
that
was so true. That was so true, and you got to ask for it all the time. And you can ask for it a million times. Ask for it, and you'll find something about it. You'll get it too.
Exactly. Because,
like you said, if you don't put the good thing in, how you gonna get the good thing out?
That's exactly right. Exactly right. You know, I got me and my wife. I tell you, know when my kids call sometimes, and I tell them don't call on Sunday morning.
Yes.
But, you know, the mornings I'm getting ready to do what I do. You know, that's my time. You know, with the Lord, and I got to go preach, and I don't, because you know, inevitably, you know, we're getting ready to go to church, and my kids don't live in the area, and they'll call on Sunday morning. Hey mom, guess what? And I say, when I hear guess what, I tell my daughter, let me tell you something. Don't you call over here on Sunday morning no more.
I guarantee you, and you lived a better life than to doing that. That's a positive thing right there.
And I said, I'm trying to teach you something that, you know, and I teach at the church. One of my dad, my pastor and father in the ministry, Reverend Dr. H.H. Luss in Seaside, he taught us, he said, everywhere you go, take a trash can with you. And I teach the church. They said, well, what do you mean take a trash can? A little wastebasket. It's imaginary, but at the same time, I said, because people are going to come to you with stuff. And when they give it to you, you have an option. You can either take it up. If it don't fit you, throw it in your trash can. But you don't have to get in their face and tell why you bring it. You just take it graciously and then throw it in your can. If you need it, keep it, fold it up, put it in your pocket. And
you know what I found out? That God will move everything from you that ain't supposed to be about himself.
Well, yes,
you don't even have to do it. You ask him to watch over you.
What didn't he say? He said in his word, "Fear not, for I have overcome the world." You know.
Well, you know what? I'm not going to be the best one that can read the Bible and everything, but I know from the 70. I'm 74 years old.
Amen.
And I've learned it all, man, from a child to how to accept it and how to deal with it, how to get things done when my parents would ask me to get it done. I've, why did I have to be the one to take my little green wagon I had and go to the store, and nobody else could go to the store because the white folks would beat us up. So I built a path through about five blocks that we could go through a path that we built, and nobody knew we was in that path. You'd be too scared to go in the path.
Wow.
Because there was snakes and everything else in there, but we had to learn how to get it done. How do you get it done?
Wow.
You know, I would ask Father, tell me how to do it.
Wow.
And guess what? I found every way, everything that I would have a problem with, I find the way. Everything.
I say, yea, though I walk through the valley.
Absolutely. Because I had to get back home with them groceries.
That's right.
And I knew that it wasn't just feeding me. It was feeding my grandmother and my mother and auntie and everybody else. But I know I didn't want them to do it, though. I mean, here I am a child. I don't want them to go because I know what they had to go through. So I didn't want them to go because I know they get beat up for sure.
Wow. But,
you know, maybe as a young man, I have a chance. And I stuttered, too. I stuttered real bad, you know.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, I hope you're enjoying this history lesson, you know, that we're getting. Because I know we all got some history, you know. And but here's one of the iconic singers, producers of our time. You know, he's already shared with you so much of his life. And just a couple of quick things here, and the show's going to wrap up. I know Marshall, I wish I could be at, I used to love rehearsals, man. When I was with Natalie as her sound engineer and as assistant road manager, I used to love rehearsals, man. We had so much fun at rehearsals, you know, as everybody's doing, anybody's been in the industry or sang a choir rehearsal or whatever. I mean, just getting ready for a show or something. I wish I had the way to get to Chicago to see that show, amen. But, of course, New Year's, I know where I'll be New Year's. But, man, mm-hmm. I tell you, the rehearsals were so good in our lives where we laugh and joke and we seriously get down to what we got to do. But Gus, you got any challenges in your life right now that you're faced with and you're dealing with? How are you dealing with them? Anything going on?
You know, I mean, I don't really have the challenges, nothing but health and things like what, you know, I mean, you know, to be 74 years old and to still be living here today and not stretched out or not having them things, it's a good life. I mean, all you can say is that it's been the best life that I know for me.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, we all have challenges, you know, in things. You try to deal with it best you can. And, you know, you just say thank you. Thank you to God every day. I have to thank him a lot of times. I've had meetings and things just get straightened out, man. They, you know, I know how life is. So I just be true to the thing. I'm true to the business. I'm true to what I do.
Right.
I do what I do as best I can. And if I can't do it, guess what? I got to let it go. You're never supposed to pull yourself out or worry yourself to death about anything.
Wow.
And so I've learned how to do that too, Pastor, you know. And
Gus, I want to tell you, Gus, it's been a great hour, but here's one thing. What do you want people to remember about you?
That I am true to what I do. That's why I have been successful. I mean, I'm a hard worker.
Amen.
I'm a hard worker. And I say to the people out there that wants to do this, just put your mind behind it. You know, like I said, I say this all the time, what you put in is what you get out. And my main thing, what I say every day, is let's go to work. You know, if we're going to do something, let's do it. If we're not going to do it, then leave it alone.
There it is.
But that's my motto, is let's go to work. I turn dreams into reality. That's what I've been doing all my life.
That sound. Let's go to work. Let's go to work, people. Let's go to. I mean, that's it. Any notes you close, let's go to work. Let's not.
That's what I say
every day
and everything. Yes.
But we got to get out of this hand out mentality, but the hand up mentality. We are the people that God said that they want nothing they won't be able to do. You know,
exactly.
Go down. He gave it in us. He stirred it up. Everything we do as a people, I'm doing a little cultural thing right here. Those of us that know what I'm talking about, it's not code, but you know, if we put our mind to it, there ain't nothing we won't be able to do.
That's right.
And we sit around in the genres that we go in sports and music or whatever, we excel when we go to work. Amen? That's true, Gus. What a word there at the closing of this. But Gus, here's what I want you to do. How do people reach you, man? Are you on Facebook, Twitter, and all that kind of good stuff?
Yeah, my best way, go to musicqe.com. That's my platform,
right.
and that's the way how to reach us. Musicqe.com. That means stands for Music Quest Entertainment. Musicqe.com.
Amen. Well, that's look, we got that, and Marshall told me, I didn't write down what he said, but you can go back. The playback will be available before the night's over. Of course, you can reach me at Bruce E. Rivers on Facebook, or Men for Life on Facebook, or Mount Moriah FBC .org. That's a church website, amen, out here in California. I'm grateful tonight for the fact that Brother Marshall Thompson, one of the founding members of the Shy Lights, they had to go to rehearsal. So it caught him at the first part of the show, and he wanted to miss her. And he was gracious enough to come and get us. They were on their way at rehearsal. He was a little late going to rehearsal. I thank God for him. So, Gus, I know you see him and talk to him. Let him know how much we appreciated him. But we have been blessed. Brother Gus Redmond, another one of those singers that came through the Shy Light time and the producing. He was like the Adnan Khashoggi of the music, putting everybody together. We always got to have those producers and facilitators, the go-betweens that get the shows done. And Gus, I cannot thank you enough from Tribe Family Channel. You can reach them at www.blogtalkradio.com/gumbo for the soul. www.blogtalkradio.com/gumbo for the soul. You're going to find out more about our show. We're here every other week, amen, working on some other great people, not only music, but some ex-NFL players. I'm going to be interviewing my brother, my best friend, my pastor, who is the original praying tailback. First NFL player to kneel in the end zone and pray, Pastor Herb Luss, and trying to hook up with Emmett Smith, one of my fraternity brothers. I'm a Phi Beta Sigma fraternity member. And I'm trying to reach Nick Cannon. Anybody got a – hey, Gus, you got a line on Nick Cannon?
I broke him out of Chicago, too.
I need to get him.
I have a line on him.
Well, good. My phone number is area code 831-333-6620. You can reach me, Pastor Bruce. The phone's always on. I pray with people all over the world. Like I say, my friend list is filled up, but you can certainly follow me, Bruce E. Rivers, on Facebook. And I'm just so grateful today for what we're doing. And we also want to thank our major producer, amen, Mr. Bruce George. Mr. Bruce George, this young man I met last year through Tribe Family Channel and whatnot. And man, he was the founder of Genius is Common, and also he's our executive producer. He helped. He was the founder also of Deaf Poetry Jam with Russell Simmons. So this young man is an awesome talent, and just I'm grateful for them even coming to me and saying, Pastor Bruce, can you handle this? Well, I talk all the time, me and Gus. I guess that's what we do. Amen.
Oh yeah, amen.
But it's certainly been a pleasure. One more closing thought from you before we sign out?
Well, like I said, let's go to work.
Go to work. Ladies and gentlemen, you can't get it. You heard it right here at the Men at the Well. Remember, the Men at the Well is a place where men come to talk about their healing, to talk about their challenges, to talk about how they've been blessed. And we're grateful once again to Tribe Family Channel, grateful once again to Genius is Common, Mr. Bruce George. I can't thank you enough, www.geniusiscommon.com. So until next week in our lives, men, get to the well. Get to the well like that woman. She went to the well in the Bible, and then the men came, and they basically told her, well, we're grateful you told us about this, but now we've seen it for ourselves. Brothers and sisters, come to the well. Come to the well of Jesus Christ. Come and let God change your life. We hope you've been blessed today. We thank God for you, and we'll see you next week. Amen?
Amen.
Happy day. Happy day.